Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
The state of North Carolina has produced a lot of gospel music, and I thought, being a Georgia boy, that Georgia produced a lot. But you got to look at North Carolina with a lot of seriousness when you look at attributing a major amount of talent in the gospel music field. And one such group is a family group that really has been doing this for at least two generations, I found out. And their names may be a little hard for some to pronounce, but I tell you what, the music rolls right off the tongue. It's a wonderful sound. You have a great message to proclaim in gospel music and do it with finesse. The Wisnants are here. Jeff and Susan Wisnant and Aaron Heiss. Yes, hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, the project we're going to focus on today, we'll get this out front, is called Life Worth Living, and we're going to hear some selections from that, plus some of your big hits through the years. And Jeff, just a minute ago, was telling me about home life growing up. You know, to do a true documentary, I always say you got to go back to the very, very beginning. So with Jeff, let's start with you. You grew up in a singing family, I understand.
Correct. My mom and dad actually were singing in trios way back, even before I was born. But our group started on a snowy night. I think it was actually in late November. And mom and dad had problems with different family members that weren't being very dependable as far as singing and so forth. And you know how that local group thing can be. Well, mom gathered us around the old upright piano. Literally, we had an upright, big black upright piano in our basement. Dad built a fire there in the fireplace in the basement to warm it up because we didn't normally stay down there. Mm-hmm. We live upstairs, and the downstairs was kind of cold. He started a fire, and we gathered up around the old black upright piano, and mom found out that the two kids could, you know, we could pick up on parts fairly quick. Mm. You know, she kind of had to hit it out note by note, but that's the way it came, and that's how it started, literally, back in 1970.
And you're still teaching Aaron by that same method, right?
No, exactly. No, by note.
You're right. You know, no, that is not your part. You go here. Yeah, it's, you know.
And some people do ask, is Aaron your son? No, Aaron is. We'll get to his story in a minute. Aaron Heiss, totally different name, so no, not a son.
Right. But don't say son. Some people think he's brothers. These two are
brothers. A lot of people say we're brothers. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They ask. Right. He looks more like his brother than his brother.
Well, and I think when you hang around people long enough, and when you sing, and that's there's a unique connection there, and you have a harmony that it fits, and it works, people assume it must be family harmony all the way. And,
right.
Well, listen, the Wisnants are, as I said, Jeff and Susan and Aaron. So, Jeff, that was in North Carolina.
Correct.
Growing up. And so, how old were you at this point when this?
When the whole thing started, I was 6 years old.
6 years. So, you didn't hit the road immediately, did you?
Oh, no. Actually, we traveled regionally, you know, through the 70s there, and we'd venture out into South Carolina and Tennessee, And that was a pretty long trip for us. And as I grew older, Susan and I started dating. We wanted to venture out, and actually were getting some radio airplay that was opening some new doors for us. But it was beginning to be tough. And, you know, mom and dad didn't want to leave the home church on Sunday morning. You can't leave the home church to go sing.
Right.
So, and honestly, we had to make some decisions, and mom and dad decided to come off the road, stay in the home church. And that's when we, for the most part, started singing full time. That was in 1970. Excuse me, 1990. We started singing in 70. That was in 1990. Susan and I had actually been married for
2 years.
And we're trying to work part time and sing almost full time. That's hard to do.
Wow.
Hard to do. Get home just in time, sometimes on Monday morning, just in time to take a shower, get in the car, and drive to work after a whole weekend of travel. And it was tough. So we made that decision in 1990 to start singing full time, and that's, you know, pretty much when we started doing what we do now.
Did you grow up strictly on religious music, gospel music, church music, or did you have some country influences or some jazz or whatever kids go through?
You know,
kids experiment. So,
as far as mom and dad were concerned,
yeah,
it was straight up and down Southern gospel, and if it wasn't Southern gospel, it wasn't nothing. But No, I enjoyed and still do listening to some country music, mm-hmm. and some that's wholesome and has you know fit to listen to. But yes, that is definitely bluegrass. You know, we're from the foothills of North Carolina.
So
bluegrass plays a part too. I like good bluegrass.
Do you play?
Yeah, I don't play on stage or haven't for years, but I used to play lead. I'm a lead guitar player.
Really?
And played on stage till, you know, actually back when Aaron first came. So that hasn't been that long ago. But I put it aside just because at that time I was trying to MC on stage, play guitar, run tracks, mm-hmm. and sing. And I didn't feel like I was doing any of it really well. So I felt like I had to get rid of something. So that's what went to the side.
The past holds the power of his promise to me. I just go back to the moment he saved me. I just go back to every prayer he's answered for me. Then I don't have
come. How long had you been married or known Susan at that point?
We dated two years, almost three. We were married in 88.
Okay.
So in 90, we had been married 2 years. I had actually been singing with his family probably at least a year and a half. Mm. But it was just, I would do maybe five or six songs until 88 when it just became a trio.
Yeah. So you married into a singing family.
I did. And I came from one.
You came from us, so tell me about your history and growing up.
I'm just sitting here while y'all were talking and kind of reminiscing a little bit. Now I'm from South Carolina.
Okay.
So down near Charlotte, Fort Mill, South Carolina.
Yeah.
At Carowinds. It's where I grew up. My dad was a pastor. Now I can remember growing up on a bus. My daddy had a group called the Melody Singers. And it was back then, I'm telling you, they were really good. It was my mom and dad, and they had a bass singer and a baritone singer and a piano player and a bass guitar player. And so all the kids, they had a GMC. What was that old bus? I can still remember.
Oh, goodness, an old Silverside or something
yes.
like that.
And we would have the back. They made it where the back lounge was just for the kids.
Wow.
And so there was three of us. There might have been 12 to 13 kids every weekend on that bus.
Mm.
And I grew up that way. And I didn't start singing. I remember I did. Mom and Daddy would call me up to sing one song, and I sung After All. Hmm. And then when I was 12, I started singing with my mom and dad as a trio.
Is that the After All?
That's the After All. That was the first song I ever sung.
Yeah,
wow.
That's a great
Isn't
song.
That amazing?
Wow.
And then when I think the Bolins came out or somebody came out with that, it was I remember. Because Greg sung the first verse, and I sung the second, my older brother. And it's really cool.
Well, that's a nice name for a family group, the Melody.
The Melody Singers.
Melody Singers.
And that was, you know, his quartet. And when I was 12, that's what we became. So.
It's better than the Dry Family.
Yes, it was.
Because that was your last name, right?
Yeah, Dry? Because when we started going by the Roland Dry Singers.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
See, that's what they were called. That's what their family trio was called.
Was
when
the Roland,
I met Susan.
What?
The Roland. Her dad's name is Roland, R-O-L-A-N-D, Dry. So they were the Roland Dry Singers, or trio, whichever, different places called them different things. That's what they were when she and I met. We met in a little church.
Roland Dry.
And,
Yeah, and we have come up to church signs, and it would have Roll, R-O-L-L, and Drive Singers. So you can mess up any name. It doesn't have to be Wisnet.
Well, I was just thinking you could probably do a Speed Stick commercial and Roll and Drive.
Roll and Drive. You got it.
The Wisnets are in the studio. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. And here's some of their music now.
It's out of your hands. You've done all you can do. You've given God the problem. It's no longer up to you. standing on God's truth. While you're waiting on the answer, He has a question for you. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations He's not the master of?
Are our guests today. We have Jeff and Susan Wisnett, and we have Aaron Heiss, who sings the third part. We'll find out what that description really is in just a moment. Susan, you were telling us about your family growing up in northern South Carolina on a bus, customized for the family. How many kids again on the bus?
Probably 13.
13.
Yeah, and it had, you know, the captain's chairs all the way through the back. It wasn't one to live on because we just sung. Mom and Daddy just sung. Weekends, you know, they'd do Saturday night sings, and that was it. So we would get on the bus, and the back was the kids' lounge, and it was pretty cool. But it was, you know, I never thought, even in college, that I would sing for a living. This would be my life.
Yeah.
But I look back, and maybe God was preparing me back then for what I'm doing today.
And they always say hindsight's 20/20, but you know, when God's involved and you look back, I think it's even a more of a wow factor.
Oh, it's clear. It is so clear. All the times I sit on the front row and I listen to Mom and Dad sing, and just the love that they instilled in me for this music.
And Susan, not only is with the Wisnetts, but you've also gone and done some solo work as well and had some good success with that.
Yeah, I did a solo project. I guess it's the first one I've ever done. Came out about a year and a half ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was totally different from Wisnett's, and I was able to co-write three songs on there that have done well. The Other Side of Grace, I think. Y'all played that really good. And a song called For the Life of Me.
Yes, I love that.
I do, too.
Well, anytime an artist does something solo, there's always the worry, I guess, that comes. Are they about to
split?
Is the group about to retire and she's going to go solo? Yeah, they're going to split. Yeah, all this type of thing. Are you leaving the group? And then there's also there's usually the answer you get from the artist. And I'll ask you if this is accurate, that as an artist, I wanted to spread my wings and do something that was me, do something that kind of went in with my artistic side. You know, David Phelps recently, that's his answer of leaving the vocal band and doing that thing solo and then going back. He had an opportunity to get out and just kind of spread his wings a little bit. So was that kind of... was that kind of an answer for you?
Maybe a little. But the Wisnett stuff is, you know, I think it's all of our heart.
Yeah.
So the music wasn't different.
But Jeff was out of the way.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. I was doing some women's conferences. You know, I don't do that many. Because honestly, there's something about singing with Aaron and Jeff.
Yeah.
When they're standing there with me, it's totally different than when I'm out there by myself. I'm scared to death. But I had done maybe two or three women's conferences, and I wanted to have something. It's not a CD for women. I'm not just going to say that, but it is. It's a CD that I think is for every hurt imaginable, every life experience imaginable. There's a song about it on that project and on the solo CD.
Yeah.
And that's why I did that. You can't really do that with the Whisnets, but with this, and I wanted something also for young girls that, you know, come to our table. And, you know, so that's what that outlet was. And I enjoyed doing it. I may never do it again, but I loved it. And on that note, I just might.
I used to worry about the troubles and the problems that this life always seemed to throw my way. But all of them together can't compare to the promise that's gonna be made real in me someday. And my redemption has been sealed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the reason for the joy that's in my heart and on my face. And His Spirit has revealed who I was and who I am. Now I know I'll never live again in that lonely place, back there on the other side of grace. For the life of me, I don't understand how He could look beyond my faults, love away my sin. For the life of me, I just cannot see why He would give me mercy when I was undeserving. How could He die just for the life of me?
In a world that for a long time was dominated by male quartets, and still some cases may very well be, do you find that you have found that to be kind of a niche for your ministry because you are female and you show up in a church, maybe they have a lot of male singers, male quartets come through, and obviously in a church environment where typically the pastor is male, then you come in as someone that some of the women or some of the young girls kind of can connect to, you know, where it may be difficult with a man.
Yeah.
They relate better.
And I think that's one reason God's blessed us so much is because we do bring that to the table. Now, there's a lot of trios out there now.
Yeah.
But I think it's very different. I think when you go to hear a quartet a lot of times, because I'm a quartet, I grew up with Gold City and Singing Americans. And if you want to dig way back, when Michael English was with the Goodmans, that was an album I had.
Oh, yeah.
So those are some of the Neelands. I mean, that's who I loved growing up. But I think when there's a mixed group such as the Whisnets, you know, it brings a lot to the table.
And speaking to the point you just made, a lot of Monday mornings, I answer most of our email just because I kind of hog the office, if you know what I mean. But for the most part, Monday morning is kind of like Monday morning church sometimes.
Yeah.
We get emails from folks through the weekend, and majority of them, or a lot of them, are from ladies that have connected with Susan, and a song that she has done has struck a chord in them or touched an issue that they may be dealing with in their lives.
And Susan, I would take that as a high compliment. I don't know if there's any scientific truth to what I'm about to say, but somebody in radio once told me as a radio programming tip, don't play more than two female solo back to back, because women, if women are listening, women don't like to hear other women sing that much, because women become critical of other that, and there's something, maybe it's the frequency of the voice that's higher and it gets on their nerves more or what. But, and that was something that was told to me for a long time ago. So for you to connect female to female like that, I think is really, at least in with that argument there, I think that's an accomplishment. So that's good.
I hope so. And, you know, a lot of women out there hurting, and a lot of families out there in desperate situations. And, you know, here I am, a mom, you know, yeah. I know what it is yeah. to yeah. raise a kid and, or kids. And, you know, I want to identify with them, you know, and, there's no difference between them and us other yeah. than the fact yeah. that we hold a microphone. That's yeah. it. There's no free pass to pain. Yeah. We all experience that. And if I can identify with them and let them know that, hey, I've been there, I know where you are. You know, that's something a man can't do with a woman.
Sure,
you know?
Sure, exactly. The Wisnitz are with us today, and here's more of this great music. The Wisnitz on Daniel Britt and Friends.
High upon this mountain, the sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, even in the valley, God is good.
Wisnitz, what a great sound. Trio, now remind me, have you always been a trio, or did you kind of change it up from time to time growing up from Jeff's family of the Wisnitz to where it is now?
It's kind of weird. When it was the original family, my dad did sing bass. So I guess you could have called us a mixed quartet back then. But dad was a very a soft bass, let's say. Yeah, we did have a bass singer actually way back when.
Wow. And you, have you ever thought of adding a bass to your sound now?
To be honest with you, not really.
Yeah.
I struggle singing with a bass. Not struggle, that's the wrong word, but I've never sung with a bass singer.
Yeah. Until you could always give the, you know, Gerald Wolf's response to that is, well, the reason why we don't have a bass singer is we don't want
one. What do I want?
Yeah, that could always be the...
Now, if one of my kids grew up and could sing bass, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, just I've never done it. I've always been in a trio. And I love bass singers, don't get me wrong. But.
Have you been, like, at quartet convention where you've been put in a situation where an impromptu group is put together?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're having to sing with a bass. And
yes.
And you try to get as far away from the stage as that bass.
No, not that at all. Okay. No. For instance, we sang with the Inspirations. And, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, months ago maybe. And we called Mike Holcomb up to sing a song with us. And it was just awesome.
It was fun.
I love that. Yeah. You know,
but it's doing it all the time.
Doing it all the time, you know.
Because we don't.
If someone will work free.
Yes, right. That's right. So 1988, you guys were married, right? Where did you meet? Singing?
South Carolina, singing.
Yeah, a little town called Blacksburg, South Carolina. Susan's family and my family.
We were singing with a group called the Whiznats? Whizanots? We didn't know.
They didn't know us, and we didn't know them, but it was definitely a God thing that night. And we met, and it's never quite been the same since.
I love asking these questions. I mean, who saw the spark first, or who had to pursue who, or how did that...
That's a strange thing, because that night, he had his girlfriend with him.
Oh.
And I had been... liking a guy for a while. But the strange thing about it is I saw Jeff's brother. And I'm a good matchmaker. I love to matchmake. But I realized my best friend was not with me that night. She's always with me. But I went to Jeff's brother and said, if you're not dating anybody, I would love to set you up with my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Which I did.
Mm-hmm.
She's now my sister-in-law.
Wow.
They dated for a year. And, you know... I knew Jeff, but I didn't, you know. My mama elbowed me through the whole service and said, you ought to talk to him. And I'm like, he's got a girlfriend. I'm not going to talk to him. And so anyway, had I not, you know, I was talking to somebody last night. Had I not set up John and Susie, we would have never maybe met up.
So wow.
My matchmaking skills paid off.
What did your sister-in-law, your best friend, did she hook
right
you up?
Next door. She hooked us up.
That's a good story.
It is. It's kind of strange, but
not tell him what you said the very first night we dated.
Well, now I did come home, told mom and daddy I was gonna marry him.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's really strange because, you know, I think my mom and daddy had raised me to pray for whoever I was gonna marry, and I did. I took it very seriously,
mm-hmm.
And I did that. I left his house with his mom and dad. Came home, told him I was going to marry him. I didn't hear from him for a month.
Scare you a little bit?
I don't think he knew.
Well, I had just ended a 5-year relationship.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it was one
of
those deals where, you know, I was really cautious.
Yeah, sure.
So that's kind of where I was. And she was in love.
Oh, yep. I did. I told her.
Well, we're glad it worked out because it's been good music for all those years. So 1990, the Whiznats came together. And before we go any further, Jeff, tell the story. You've already told me, but tell the story again about the name Whiznats, where it came from.
Okay.
Or where you think it came from, at least.
It's an old German name. There were two brothers, supposedly, that came over from Germany, and their last name was Wissenhunt. So, and I didn't share this with you earlier, but there is supposed to be, and there is a book, and my dad has it, There are supposed to be over 50 different spellings of our last name.
Wow.
So that just makes it even more complicated. But I tell people, you just say it like it's spelled.
Say it real fast.
Say it fast.
You do.
Say it. Whiznat. Not Whiznat or Whistlenut or Whisket or whatever, you know. We get called.
Oh, I bet you did.
We've been introduced as the Whistle family.
So some people don't even. And some people say, Brother Jeff, you guys just come on up and say.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I ask him a question, Aaron?
Had you ever heard of those?
The Whistlenuts? I'm serious. Did you know how to say our name and stuff? I never asked
you that. I think I'd heard one song.
Really?
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a number one song till he came.
Not really. Yes and no, not really.
Okay. So you didn't have a clue who was calling?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Was it a hard name to get used to saying? I didn't find it that hard.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I graduated with a Whistlenut spelled just like that. So it was, and I'm from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not really a big deal to me, the name.
Now, I will say this. No offense to anybody, but sometimes people in the South have a little easier time with it. People from up north, for some reason, want to put make the S like a Z. They want to call us the Whiznets or the Whiz. Nats. When they say that, are the Whiznats.
So, like a bug.
For some reason, like the further north we get, the S turns into a Z sometimes.
That's fun.
Yeah, but we have fun with it. I promise you, you couldn't offend us by calling us anything.
We've been
introduced by several different things.
Just begun.
When the light of the lamp, oh, the light of the lamp, yes, the light of the lamp will shine brighter than the sun.
For 10,000 years we'll sing his praise as if we've just begun.
When the light of the lamp, oh, the light of the lamp, yes, the light of the lamp
will shine brighter.
Saw an old friend at the market, standing in the checkout line. She began to share her story, and then I told her mine. It was clear we both knew heartache, so before I turned to go, we made a simple promise that would lighten both our loads. I'll pray for you, you pray for me, and together we'll touch heaven from our knees. Anything can happen in his name. Anytime and anywhere, and sometimes when we're talking, the conversation turns to you. As your name and needs are mentioned, God lifts my spirit too. I'll pray for you, you pray for me, and together we'll touch heaven from our knees. Anything can happen in his name when we agree. I'll pray for you,
you pray.
Latest project is called Life Worth Living. We're spinning tunes off that, but let's talk about some of the other songs that we also have with the Whistlenuts. Of course, Be Not Afraid was off the last project, and that was a good song for you.
Be not afraid, for it is I, in the fourth watch of the night. You fought and prayed, but I am here, and it's all right. The storm will raise, the winds will blow, but they are under my control. It won't be long till morning breaks. Be not afraid.
And then Nail It to the Cross comes to mind.
Just nail it to the cross.
Next time that you see me.
The next time that you see me, maybe on streets of gold. The next time that you see me, I may be wearing a brand new robe. Maybe kneeling at his feet, or shaking his nail-scarred hand. The next time.
My favorite, and I loved it on the radio, but then there's always something when you hear it live. And I remember I was in a nosebleed seat at Freedom Hall, Louisville, Kentucky, and I think it was up for Song of the Year that year or something. But anyway, they had you guys come out and do New Day Dawn.
Oh yeah.
And when that kicked in, and when you hear it live, it had a sizzle to it that was just you couldn't match. It was magical. It was the same song you hear on the radio, but hearing it live is like, that's the group. And I never seen you guys perform until then, I don't think. And so it was like, I'm seeing people who are singing the song, who made the song that I've always played. So I love that song.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
On my feet in the cool clear blue.
I'm gonna sing with the saints and angels. I'm gonna be there. How about you? Feet of our Lord. Well, I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to be there. I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. For a brand new
that you said, use the word magical, and I think it almost sounds corny, but that was probably one of the only songs that we've ever done that when the track went down in the studio, I knew from that moment, this is going to be a hit song.
Right.
And it was one of those songs, I don't really care. I'm not sure if it would have mattered who recorded it, mm-hmm. so I'm glad we got it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It would have been a great song for anybody. It's just got that feel to it. We've been singing it for years now, and it's almost like it don't get old to people.
Yeah, yeah.
They respond the same way just about every time you sing it. Yeah. It's just a happy, happy song.
Well, you put the word new in it, and I think that kind of helps you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It does, and it has a message of hope. You could use that for any kind of economic crisis you go through or any kind of tragedy that this country goes through or personal loss. And who wrote that?
Joel Lindsay.
Joel Lindsay wrote mm-hmm. that. Any great?
Yeah.
And you also have a lot of songs written by Marcia Henry.
Oh, yeah.
And what a great songwriter. She's contributed a lot to your projects. Now, do any of you write? Or have tried your hand
Jeff's
at it?
Jeff's brother wrote some.
Some of our earlier
Aaron,
songs.
You've written.
The Day Will Come.
The Day Will Come. That was a Jeff's top brother. Five song for us, Jeff's brother wrote.
And Susan co-wrote some songs off of her solo project. Mm-hmm. She's never written anything that we've recorded as a group.
They didn't want to record anything.
Honestly, Daniel, God's blessed us. We're like really good friends with some of the best writers in our industry. And, but we try not to stay in a box either.
Mm-hmm.
Like on our new CD, there's writers on there that we've never used before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, there's a Sandy Knight song that we recorded. We've never recorded a Sandy Knight song before, but we have now on the new CD.
Well, what about Sandy Blythe? I mean, she is a girl we met in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, at Shoney's
Rockingham.
This little girl, she's 21 years old at
the time.
She's
from Oklahoma.
She's from Oklahoma. Wow. We're sitting there in Shoney's eating. It's about 11 o'clock at night, and she and her mom walked over to us. Are y'all the Wisnets? Yes, we are. I write songs. I love your music. Would you be interested? And if you knew how many times we get that. But let me tell you that Sandy Blythe sent us a demo, and you have Thank God for Grace. You have For the Life of Me. What else has she written on prior projects? McCamey's last single.
Yeah, yeah. Since mm-hmm. we started, mm-hmm. we were the
three
first
of them
group
on
to
here.
Ever record any mm-hmm. of her music. She's had McCamey's cuts. She's had Inspiration's cuts.
Wow.
And so it's like the Southern gospel industry has opened up to
it. It's like we've met writers that know our heart.
Mm.
And when it comes time for a recording, the Rodney Griffins, the Marcia Henrys, the Rebecca Pecks, the Barbara Huffmans, the Sandy Blythe will call, and Chris Binion will call and say, okay, are you ready? And some of them have said, what are y'all going through? Like we had been through the fire with our station. And people will write.
And I
feel like if we're going through it, well, I know the people that are listening to us are going through it.
And then you intersected paths with Aaron and another funny last name, Heiss.
Yep.
So
thank you.
So he's from Indiana by way of Illinois, right?
Right.
And now proud North Carolinian.
Right.
I guess. So tell me about this meeting and how did you guys hook up with him? I mean, was there a resume? Was there?
You want us to tell, or do you want him?
Well, either way, who has the best end of that story?
Actually, at the time, and this is going on 9 years ago, I was filling in with the Greens.
You were the first fill-in, were you not, for Tim?
No, I was the second, I believe. Okay. But I was filling in with the Greens while, Tim was sick.
Yeah.
And I was there 4 or 5 months. And at the time that I was there, the guy that was here, he's actually was going to come off the road. And Tony... knew of Jeff and then the Wisdom and said, hey, they're looking for a singer. And at the time, I was actually kind of living in Boone, mm-hmm. which isn't, an hour from us.
Mm-hmm.
So I just came down the mountain and tried out while I was here, but I was still living in Illinois.
Oh, wow.
So I basically came down, tried out, and drove 10 hours back home. And, that was in December of 2001, So, that was a while back, but...
That's a long time to stay with a group, especially when you're not related like that. And it was kind of
Sometimes people say, "Man, how long you been here?" I've been going on 9 years, and wow,
cool.
You know, any more, 2 or 3 years is about the max.
And what's your history with music? I mean, you're not that old of a guy.
Now, well, kind of like Jeff and Sue, you know, my dad, same but different. You know, being 45 minutes from Chicago, we did not get a lot of Southern gospel. If we did, it was quartets.
Yeah.
My dad always had a quartet, started out playing drums with my dad's quartet, then eventually started singing. And but really, you know, kind of the opposite of them, it was more of the quartet, you know. And I can remember the first concert I went to in 1983. It was in South Bend, Indiana, Kingsmen and Cathedrals. Wow. Still have the ticket stub.
Oh, my.
You know, tickets were $6.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was it for me.
Wow.
I loved it. You know, and still do, you know, but.
And what part do you sing? I mean, do you actually have parts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I'd be considered.
Identify.
Lead.
You know.
Susan, are you an alto?
I'm an alto. Jeff's a baritone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There you got it.
Mm-hmm.
The Wisnets are our guests today. They also have, of course, we'll talk about the Wisnets kids, which have grown up on the road now. But there's also, and I didn't ever get him, I never really saw him smile until he came with your group. His name is Eric, and now he smiles a little bit more. So I don't know if it was something against Ed, or if it was just, you know, he's got a pretty lady to wake up, you know, that wakes up and has coffee ready or something. But
Eric is... He's a
different breed.
Let's put it
and
down.
Eric's not here to defend himself.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
So we can talk about it.
That's right. That's right.
No, we'll try to be kind. No, Eric's a neat guy. He's just Eric. He literally is. And that's what I like about him. Eric's real even-keeled. He's done this long enough. Nothing shakes him up. If we're buzzing down the road and everything's going good, or if we're sitting on the side of the road broken down, you know, he's still Eric.
That's cool. And a good talent, isn't he?
Yeah, great guy. Great stage guy.
Yeah.
He and Susan and all of us, we connect well, communicate well together on stage. And you know as well as I do, that means a whole lot.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The Wisnets are our guests today. Their latest project is Life Worth Living. And, of course, you can find that online. If you can spell it, you don't have to pronounce it, but spell it, wisnets.com. It's Whisnants, wisnets.com. And here's more now from the Wisnets on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Father will not answer. He can't ignore his child's earnest request. So while you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a grace.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Jeff and Susan, we've recapped their marriage, 88. The start of this version of the Wisnets was 1990. And then not long after that, I guess she started having some kids. And they've been on the bus.
Oh,
just like Susan said, she grew up with the playpen in the back lounge.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing. That's how it was. But Jeff and I were married 6 years before we had Austin.
Oh, okay.
So we had quite a, you know...
Long honeymoon.
6 years, and then Austin came, and it's just been warm. Our kids have learned to walk on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
They've always had a bunk, and you know, it was so funny because Austin would say, "When are we going bye bye on the bus? Bye bye on the bus." They loved it, you know, my prayer was, God, please don't let them grow up to not want to do this. And so, because if that happens, then that causes us to have to look at a new direction. But so that's why we're trying to include our kids in what we're even doing now, because it behooves us to get them involved so that we can stay in what we're doing longer.
Sure.
But it's wonderful. You know, we homeschool them, and that is not always easy.
No, I bet not.
Austin's playing the bass. I hadn't even thought about that. Our little 15-year-old joined us on stage in January And he's now becoming a great bass guitar player. Both kids sing one song at least a night. And it's just, you know, also we were talking on the way down here, bringing Austin on stage. You know, Aaron's the single guy in the group. And I think, you know, that's helped us in some areas. And then bringing Austin to the stage has made young people like our music a little more or make them at least more interested in it. So it's all good. But I love having my boys on the bus.
Aaron, do you play anything, or are you simply a vocalist?
I play drums.
That's right.
You know, I play bass a little bit. I took piano lessons years ago, but probably should have stuck with it, but I didn't, you know. So
on stage, you've got Eric at the keys, and you've got
Austin on bass,
and then you three are doing trio. Mm-hmm. You guys have been, and this is no slam against the, I guess use the term flashier groups, but you guys have been couched as being, and I think this is a good compliment, to be a good ministry-minded group. And again, that's no slam against those who are doing it differently, because I think there are many ways to reach people with the message of Christ. But you guys really, really know, and I think it's thanks to what Susan was saying about connecting with people who are hurting. And I think you're sensitive probably when you get into a sanctuary or get on a platform to know, to feel the room, to know what's going on, what people are needing to hear that night.
You're right.
Daniel, it is a direction I guess God gave us a long time ago. If you think through our songs that have been the most popular, for the most part, they're songs of encouragement. And our ministry lends itself to that. And yeah, we do. We are very ministry minded, and a lot of it, I think, too, comes from Susan's daddy's been a pastor all her life. Mm-hmm. You know, dealing with people issues, yep. Helping hurting people. My granddad pastored our home church for 36 years. My brother is a pastor who used to travel with us. He came off the road to pastor a church. Mm-hmm. So we do have a heart for hurting people, and we do love to minister to them. Absolutely.
Okay, that's primarily weekends. You know, most groups typically travel what, Thursday through Sunday. So when you're home, it's not necessarily just gearing up for the next weekend. You're taking care of a family, kids, homeschooled. Your family has a radio station that plays gospel music.
Correct.
And that's in Morganton, right?
Correct. Morganton, North Carolina.
And that recently, as a side note, that recently you had a major tragedy there. Was it arson?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it burned to the ground.
Correct. An arsonist burned our station to the ground, and we're totally off the air for 4 months.
Now, in this country, does that happen very often? I mean,
that's one of those deals you scratch your head and just say, why?
But, you know, the Wisnet's office was there. So, you know, we're not hands-on with that radio station other than Jeff pays the bills and stuff because he has an accounting degree. But the Wisnets, we lost. You know, we were sitting here talking about all of our old soundtracks.
Oh.
We lost all of that.
We lost probably 5,000 pieces.
A product.
Mm-hmm. That's just product. That's not stationary, credit card machines. Right, you know, just
a lot of memorabilia for Wisnets.
You know, I lost 2 number one plaques. You know, just...
Right, right.
You say, well, that's not a big deal, but it is, you know, to us. You know, just the stuff you can't replace, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but, it's a big deal.
You remember when that happened, and I guess, you know, if it's a radio station, it's a public, it's out there, so it's, in your mind, probably going to be more of a target for an act of arson or terrorism or whatever, you know. But I just sort of thinking, you know, does that really happen these days? I mean, I don't really hear that happening that often, in the investigation, if you're able to talk about it, is there any indication that it was targeted for a particular reason or just kids?
Well, it's only theory, but what basically the building, and you don't know this, you know, when you see a fire, you just see kind of a mess. But when it was all over, the fire marshal took us through the building and showed us where pretty much every drawer in every desk was opened. Hmm. Every file cabinet drawer was opened. So he said probably somebody came in, ransacked the building looking for money. Hmm. Maybe somebody on drugs or something like that needing desperately needing a fix. Mm-hmm. And when they didn't find any money, they just got angry and found there was one room that had a circle about 3 feet around mm-hmm. where somebody had obviously poured some kind of flammable substance.
Wow.
And that's where the fire originated. That was the worst part of the fire. And it had literally burned through the floor. The fire was so, so hot. There was parts of the building that the floor survived, but right in there, that whole area just burned everything and melted.
Because in our minds, I think when we got the call at 2:30 in the morning, we were home.
Yeah,
we thought it would have been an electrical fire.
Right.
I think in my mind, I never even thought that somebody.
Well, with
could
so
do.
Much electronics in there.
Yeah, and you're in your mind, you're sitting there watching it burn. We were all there, thinking no one could have done this.
Yeah.
And then when the fire marshal walks you through and says, you know, do you have any enemies? We were like, no, not at all.
Yeah.
And he said, let me show you what. So, you know, back to what you were talking about, that was a real tragedy for us. And you know.
Is it hard to talk about even now because it's so personal?
Well, yeah. Daniel, to be honest, there was a lot of anger you just had to get, we had to get past. And it took, you know, our kids.
That was hard.
When mom and dad were at the office, the kids had to come. So our kids spent a lot of time there. And when they saw where they had spent a lot of their childhood years go up in flames, it made them upset, which in turn obviously made us upset.
Yeah,
And, you know, it is. It's one of those things I'm like, God, I don't understand this, but we're just going to have to trust you. Because that's the only way you can get through situations like that. But we have, and it's all good. We look back. The guys at our radio station had never known what it's like to broadcast on brand new equipment.
Yeah.
But they do now.
Yeah.
And so there's always a bright side if you look for it.
Sure, sure. And you're staying busy, and along the laundry list of things you do during the week, you also run a radio record type company where you help and establish new talent. And that's something that, Susan, you sort of head up, right?
I do, but I wanted to just hit on what Aaron said. You know, he can remember his first concert. He's still got the ticket stub. I know on his phone is a picture of him and Ernie Phillips when Austin was. I mean, how old were you, Aaron?
Six.
6 years old. Wow. He's got that on his. So not only are we artists, we're fans.
Yeah.
And I say that from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
We truly are. We still love this music. And, you know, I don't. If it ever gets to the point, Daniel, to where it's a job.
Oh, right, right.
So I've been in banking 11 years. I can work a job. Where I can turn around and leave it at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
This is something we love.
Yeah.
And I think God has, I don't know, maybe it is my raising. I feel like it is a responsibility. I want to entertain, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I want people to come to our concerts if their load's heavy.
Yeah.
Or if their family's just about to pull apart, to leave differently knowing, you know what, even in the valley, God is good. And He is faithful. And He's not mad at me. And you know, I think God holds us responsible to be able to give them something they can take home that money can't buy. And that's what I want to do.
And that's the philosophy and the heart behind the Wisnants. And you'll find them at a church near you. Watch the schedule, thewisnants.com. And that's just simply wisnants.com for that website. And the latest project's Life Worth Living. Susan's got the solo workout that's been very, very good. Thanks for taking time today to talk to us and go through the history of the Wisnants. And again, on the web, it's wisnants.com.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.